It says ready to go live.
Here we go. Here we go. Oh.
Wow, 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 wow. We are here, man, on a Monday evening Double M Live. And on the eve of our season 4 premiere, what the hell are we doing here on the eve of Double M's season 4 premiere? And we got our boy with us, Jet, in the building. It's madness, man, but let's not beat around the bush, guys. Last night was wild. Oscars, Will Smith, Chris Rock. That's why we're here. We're here for an instant reaction episode on, what are we calling this? The Will Smith smack heard across the world.
The smack heard around the world. Wow. What a way to put it. But yeah, that's literally what you could call it because, you know, like we said, we're not going to beat around the bush. Jet, Marv, I don't think there's ever been a wilder situation on live TV that I can think of. The only thing I can think of, and you guys, if you have other ones, the only thing I can think of is the time when Kanye West went up and snatched the mic out of Taylor Swift's hand and said what he said about Beyonce had the best album. Other than that, I can't think of another situation that is even close to what we saw. And Kanye West was bad. That situation was bad.
Yeah.
Will Smith, what he did, blew that out the water 20, 30, 40, 50 times worse than that Kanye Taylor Swift situation.
I mean, yeah, Marv and I were tweeting back and forth as it was happening last night. It was like, I feel like I almost manifested this podcast. I was like, I need to come on. Like, we need to talk. I can't just sit here and tweet about it. Like, I need to actually talk about it. Someone needs to give me a forum to be able to say all the things I want to say about this. Because, all right, I watch the Oscars every year. I don't know why. I guess I'm like a glutton for punishment. Is it entertaining every year? No. Are the movies that I really like ever nominated? Rarely. But I still watch it every year. And just expect it to, you know, kind of go. It's going to run, you know, it's 40 minutes over, whatever. And, like, this was, like, I mean, it, like, made the entire show so uncomfortable. Like, which awkward. Is, like, not why you watch. You're like, oh, I want to see, you know, what movies are going to win. And, like, you know, if anybody's going to say something funny in their speeches. And, like, who they're going to, you know, tease a little bit. But, like, it was one of the most uncomfortable viewing experiences I've ever had. And, like, it's just like, it's hard to describe watching it live. You're like, cause there's that initial confusion where it's like, was that real? And then you're like desperate for information on Twitter. And all you have for people to like confirm or deny is everybody who's just like ever watched wrestling in their lives. People saying, oh, this is a work or this is real. Like I think somebody tweeted that it was one of the top five nights ever in Twitter history. And I kind of agree. It was just like, it was the perfect microcosm events. It was like, oh, boring award show. Oh, Will Smith slapped Chris Rock in the face. And then everybody, like, it's like the world went to a halt. No one was talking about Russia and Ukraine anymore. No one was talking about, you know, anything else except for this. It's like the world stopped because Will Smith slapped Chris Rock in the face. It was wild.
Yeah, man. Like, it's going to be one of those things where people are going to be like, where were you? I tell you this. I don't watch the Oscars. Don't ever plan to. I knew that, you know, Will Smith was up to finally get an Oscars for himself. I was going to see it the next day, do my congratulations retweet, and move on with my life. I was in bed, ready to watch Atlanta, because Atlanta has come out. I'm like, all right, I'm about to watch Atlanta. And I'll probably knock and finish the rest the next day. And then one of my boys hits the group chat and just goes, in the most nonchalant way, Will Smith just smacked Chris Rock. So naturally, you know, I go on Twitter. Like, what? Let me see who's talking about Will Smith. And it just blows up. At first, people are like, oh, you guys are stupid. This is fake, obviously, da, da, da. So I'm ready about to go back to watching Atlanta. And then it just, it became a firestorm online. Let me just say, I stayed up to 2 a.m. I ain't watched no Atlanta. It's just the conversations, the think pieces, everything that wrapped around this smack just took over my night. And then, as we all know, the next day, as in right now, it's just taken a life of its own, which we knew it would. Mike, you mentioned Kanye and what was it? Taylor Swift.
Yep.
Twitter wasn't popping like that then.
Sure was not.
You know, it just happened to be that VMAs, everyone was watching it, and, you know, it took his life of its own, obviously, and this lives on forever. We'll never forget that. This right here, due to social media and, like, yeah, sports shows talking about it, Bleacher Report gave me a notification about it. It just blew up everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I was asleep. I'm not going to lie to you. I was asleep when this all popped off. You know, smooth Sunday. You know, I went to bed. Celtics won. I was feeling good. Celtics were in first place. I'm like, ah, man, this is a great way to go to sleep. What, 8:30, 9 o'clock, 9:30? I'm going to take my ass to bed and get ready for the work week. I wake up to about 300, 400 messages. And when you wake up to your group chat with that many messages, you know something went down. And before I even clicked on the messages to see what was said, I said, damn, I missed something crazy. I missed something crazy. I did not expect I was going to read and watch a clip of Will Smith walking onto the stage at the Oscars and slapping a man in the face. I tell you, it's been, you know, 24 hours or whatever, how long it's been. And I watched that video maybe 50 times. And no matter how many times I watch it, it still doesn't seem real. Like, Will Smith walked on the stage at the Oscars, the biggest award show in, like, U.S. history, the biggest show that gets put on.
No, it's the biggest award show.
The biggest award show in the history of the United States. And he smacked a man on live TV. Like, it's I don't know about y'all, but to this very moment, it's still mind-blowing to me.
Mike, isn't it like, you remember those things, Mad Libs? Like, when you're kids, you know, you'd, like, fill out the thing. You'd be like,
adjectives, adverbs.
Here now. It'd be like, okay, it's like a Mad Lib. It's like, Chris Rock got slapped by Will Smith at the Oscars. Like, you have to... Is this real? Like, how did it happen? Like, and Marv makes such a good point with Twitter being what it is now, and, like, social media being the dominating form of how people really communicate in 2022. It just took it to a whole nother level. You know, like Mike said, like, yeah, the Kanye West thing was, like, obviously it was in the news for so long afterwards, and people watched it, and YouTube was popular then. But, like, the instant reaction that you can get from Twitter is just so different in terms of how you talk about something than anything else. And there's, like, a few times that I can remember being, like, just glued to Twitter. Like Marv said, like, he was up to, like, 2 a.m. Like, I couldn't stop refreshing it and checking it either. It was, like, the only time I remember, and I'm probably forgetting another time where I did this too, was, like, the night of the marathon bombing, when they were looking for the people who, you know, were responsible. Like, Twitter was, like, nonstop with all that sort of stuff. Like, I think it was this or this happened. And, like, this obviously wasn't nearly as serious as that. People died at the marathon bombing. That was a, you know, legitimate terrorist attack. This is, you know, Chris Rock getting slapped. But just, it's amazing that, like, it was like a moment, like you said, Marv, like, where were you when this happened? Which, up until now, moments like that were, where were you when, you know, President Kennedy was assassinated? Or where were you when September 11th happened? And, like, this seems so minor, but it's such, like, a, now it's going to be, like, a huge part of cultural history, which is absurd. Oh,
this is going to live on. Like, I see Simpsons doing episodes, the Family Guys, the Saturday SNL. Night.
Yep.
Like, this is going to live on forever. Like, the kids who never knew or didn't get a chance yet to know who Will Smith is or Chris Rock, this is their first memory of them, because they're going to see it everywhere online and on their TikToks and such. So let's break this down.
Yes,
because there's different angles we have to talk about through all of this. So we really got to be, you know, and everyone who's watching, make sure you hit the comments. Let us know what your thoughts and feelings are. But we really need to break this down piece by piece, person by person, and get our thoughts on how all of this resolved.
Who do we let's
start with the main culprit. Let's start with Will Smith, man. Like, what are your thoughts? First of all, what are your thoughts on Will Smith getting on stage and smacking Chris Rock? Let's get this out the way right now. What are your thoughts when you first saw it? How are you feeling about it now after, you know, 24 hours listening to 100 of people having their own takes? What's going through y'all head knowing that Mike said he still can't believe it's real? Like, what's your thoughts? Let's start off with Jet.
You know, I guess my initial thought was when he was walking up to the stage, I was like, oh, this is, you know, they're friends. Right. They've known each other, you know, for a long time. This is, you know, just like a little bit that they're doing. So it was like, okay, like another like Oscars bit. And then once they like bleeped out, it was like about 30 seconds of silence. You're like, okay, something's actually going on here. This isn't just like a little bit. And then my immediate thought was like, wow, Will Smith just completely hijacked the entire like award ceremony. And all these, he arguably is the most famous person on the planet, most famous actor on the planet, because he's been doing it for so long and everybody knows who he is. You know, he's been in so many of the top grossing movies and, you know, Fresh Prince, and now there's the Bel Air show. And my initial thought was like, after I realized it was real, it was like, wow, he just set the worst example for all these kids who are like his fans, and saying, and parents tell him, you know, resolve things with your words, not with violence. And like, okay, a slap isn't, you know, a straight up punch in the face or anything like that. But I was just like, wow, I did not think this was in his personality to do something like this. That was my initial thought.
I agree 100%. Will Smith has been, throughout the course of his career and being in the public light, he's been like a model citizen. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's never been any real trouble with Will. Like, he's never been like arrested. I don't think he's been arrested for anything, or like there's nothing that's really popped off negative for Will Smith. He's put out movies, you know, he has his family and whatnot, but he's never really been in the public eye in a negative way. Now, I'm going to talk about some other stuff for sure. But Will Smith, the person, like, he's a great guy. For him to go on the stage, smack Will Smith, and get off the stage.
Chris Rock.
Chris Rock. Then get off the stage and yell at the man like he did. Even to right now, I'm still looking at Will Smith every time I watch that clip. And I'm like, yo, who is that? Will Smith curses in real life? I know he maybe, you know, he plays movie roles, Mike Lowry, and, you know, this and that, but all the interviews, and, you know, he's active on IG posting videos and different stuff. He's active on YouTube posting long ass YouTube videos, and I never heard Will Smith talk like that in my life, other than in the movie.
No, it's like goofy family stuff, right? Like, he's like, yeah, goofy, the ultimate stuff. Family man,
traveling and doing stuff with his kids and his wife. But to get off that stage and yell two times, keep my wife's name out your effing mouth. And then the first time, it's like people in the audience is laughing because they're probably still like, yo, whoa, what's going on here? Will Smith. And then the second time, you can hear the bass. And you can see the nostrils flaring. And then you can see his eyes and his mannerisms like, nah, you didn't hear me, Chris Rock. Keep my wife's name out your effing mouth. Now the place is dead silent. Now the people behind him in the view of the camera, they're like, oh, my God.
Lupita's reaction in the back is amazing.
Now, and then Chris Rock, and then the silent, and Chris Rock's like, dude, it's a G.I. Jane joke. Like, and Will Smith's just like, yeah, nah, keep her name out your mouth in a place of silence. Chris Rock's like, all right, dude, like, take it easy. Again, there's much more to talk about, but just going off of what I saw from Will, I never expected to ever see Will react in that manner, whether it's the slap, whether it's what he had to say. I never thought that could be in Will Smith's character.
Yeah, Sam brings up the man was tired. We can get to why the smack happened. You know, why we transitioned. I think the move was weak. I know some people. This is where it gets controversial, right? So some people are praising Will Smith, and some people on my side are just like, that ain't it. That ain't it at all. First of all, to just go on stage and smack somebody and then turn your back on them and walk away, that's not cool. Like, I just don't even see grown men slapping. Like, why not? If you're going to go for it, you might as well give him a hook. Like, what grown man slapping another grown man? Like, what are you trying to, that's, what are you, a pimp?
If you feel that upset about what Chris Rock said,
you go with the hook.
Someone said like a groin shot too. Like if you're really pissed at somebody like that, like a knee to the balls.
Nah, you a man. If you feel that upset, your hands. You're going up there, you're punching him in the face.
But why, like a slap? That right there is weird. Then he turned away. Like he slapped and turns away and walks
immediately.
Walks right back. If you know anything, and I brought this up with what's it, Marcus Morris, you don't hit somebody and just turn your back away from them. Like you deserve to get hit, but you smack someone, stay right up front. Chris Rock wasn't gonna do anything. We're gonna talk about Chris Rock and how he handled himself in general, but. The way what Will Smith, I personally think it was weak. It could have been handled a thousand different ways. But let's talk about why. Sam kind of alluded to it. He said Will is tired. He's tired AF. Mm-hmm. Look, man, we've done pods on this already, Mike. We've had conversations. People who don't know, Will's been going through it for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Jada's been throwing his name out in all different disrespectful types of ways. We know about August Alsina. We know about how, what she said the last time we did a pod, Mike. What was the thing that she said? Will's not doing it right in bed or something like that.
His sex game is weak, basically.
Oh, talking about his sex game is weak, and naturally in this era. Things like that come, you're getting roasted. So for 2 years, he's been getting toasted by everybody, celebrities, people on Twitter, Instagram. Even I, you know, I'm a big fan of Will Smith. I love Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Anything Will Smith drops, I try to make sure I watch. Started looking at the man a little different. Like, you can't be having your wife just go out here and just saying these wild things, and then he goes on the Red Table Talk. We all see the meme, him tearing up, and it's just pain. And it hasn't been a good 2 years for Will Smith. So Chris Rock does what he says, and it seems like he's fed up. I put "seems" in quotation marks on purpose. It seems like he's fed up, and he goes and smacks Chris Rock, and the rest is history. If, fellas, if that is the take right there, because there's different variation, if that's the take, does he have a reason to smack Chris Rock?
Go ahead, Jet.
No, I don't think you ever have a reason to just, you know, smack somebody in the face or punch somebody or anything with like that, especially as a response to a joke. Like, I'm all for defending your family and protecting your family. And I think that that's a really important, you know, characteristic, whether, you know, it's a son to a mother or a father, or, you know, a parent to their kids, husband to wife, whatever. I think, you know, that's important. You want to make sure that you feel like you're protecting your family, but doing it that way, I feel like isn't protecting your family. That's just opening yourself up to more criticism and opening your family up to saying, okay, well, they can't take a joke. Like, Chris Rock's job is a comedian. Like, yeah, okay, he's an actor and he's done all sorts of stuff, but like, that's his primary job. That's how he came up. This, of all the jokes Chris Rock has made in his life, I would venture to say this is probably the 10,000th least offensive joke that he's made. This was not like, I know, and I'm sure Marv, you're, you know, going to get into it and explain more, that she has, like, you know, alopecia and has talked about her medical condition. And was it like the most sensitive joke in the world? No, but Will Smith's a smart guy, and Will Smith's, you know, a quick guy. And I feel like if he really wanted to get back at Chris Rock for this, just zing Chris Rock back. There's so many ways to do it other than this. So, like, you know, to answer your question, Marv, if he was tired, yeah, he's been having a tough go of it for 2 years, but this was supposed to be the end of it because this was his night where his 30 plus year acting career
redemption
paid off, and he got that Oscar that he's been wanting for so long, and that frankly he's deserved for so long. And that was supposed to be his moment of redemption. And it's like his brain broke in that moment, and all the stuff that's been going on with him, you know, personally, privately, whatever, over these past 2 years or something like that, he didn't think properly anymore, and it ruined what should have been the greatest moment of his life, other than the birth of his kids.
Look, I'm gonna say this, and I want this to make sure it's clear to everybody. If you think Chris Rock made that joke knowing that Jada is suffering from alopecia, I think you got it completely twisted. I understand comedians, you know, they crack jokes on people, you know, stand up comedy, whatever. People sitting in the audience, they'll go in on whatever. I get it. I firmly don't believe Chris Rock would have that knowledge that Jada's dealing with alopecia and make a joke like that. That's very savage-like. And Chris Rock is a well-respected comedian, actor, everything else he does. You know, I don't think Chris Rock is that much of a savage to do that. And, you know, these are people that are probably in the same circle, Hollywood, whatever.
Especially, you know, in that setting, right? Like the Oscars.
Setting, like
it's not like
Oscars.
It's not like a club where he's doing a set.
Yeah, this is not no club. I know Chris has done stand-up all throughout his career early on and whatnot. It's not that type of setting. He's throwing light jabs out there, this and that. He's not going in on any, like, Chris Rock has done stand up. He's probably cursing up a storm, going in and on like that. It's not one of them type of settings. Like I said, he's probably throwing light jabs to people around there and there. And the joke he said to Jada was a light jab. Like, let's call it what it is. Like, yes, we understand she has alopecia and whatnot, but Jade has a bald head, and he made a G.I. Jane joke. And, like, again, light jab. But obviously, with the alopecia aspect, it's bigger. Now, again, I don't believe Chris Rock knew that. So he made that light jab, and he's probably just going to move on. He wasn't thinking much of it. And I think, you know, I've had conversations with people they probably think, oh, that's messed up. He should never did that. And he doubled down and said it was a good joke. Yeah, he made a joke and didn't think it was that serious. That's why when Will Smith came up and smacked him and then he yelled, "Keep my wife's name out your mouth," his response, he didn't respond and say, "Oh, I sorry, I didn't mean it without peace." No, he just like, yo, I just made a
G.I. Jane joke, G.I. bro.
Jane joke. And even with that response, you can tell there again, Chris Rock didn't know anything about her having alopecia. But again, you know, Will Smith knows that, and having conversation with friends throughout the day, on top of everything that Will Smith and Jada have been going through and dealing with throughout the last 2 years, this alopecia thing, you know, obviously you don't know what kind of conversations in you know, emotions Jada is displaying at home and whatnot. You don't know. So was this a major trigger for her, for Will Smith? Yeah. But again, Chris Rock doesn't know this. He's just telling jokes on stage to keep the Oscars rolling around. My question is, and I can't wait to hear both of your thoughts on this. Will Smith, in the span of, I don't know, 5 seconds, 10 seconds,
I was gonna do,
went from laughing about the joke to hopping on the stage to smack that man.
Yep.
What the hell happened in that 5 seconds, that 10 seconds, whatever it was? Because the camera panned to Will Smith and Jada right after Chris Rock made a joke. And Will Smith, you know, he's laughing. Then it panned back to Chris Rock. And in a few seconds, you see Will Smith going up on stage. What happened?
It's like that clip of Kanye, right, where he's like smiling courtside at a game one time, and then he realizes the camera's on him, and he puts back, you know, the serious face.
Like, just like that. Just like that, a snap of fingers. What happened there?
That's the key right there, Mike. That's the whole thing that doesn't make any sense. Because you mentioned it's a light jab. You mentioned how it wasn't too serious. And, like, Will Smith is not a dumbass. Like, he's a smart man. He understands these things are going to happen. So he's clapping and laughing. We are in the same video that he's clapping and laughing. Jada's not clapping and laughing, right? Jada's like, she rolls her eyes a bit. She seems a little upset about it. Boom, goes back to Chris Rock. He's ready to do his another joke and move on with his life. 5 seconds. Uh-oh. That's what he goes out and says, uh-oh. Well, and Rich is coming, and Will Smith smacks him. So clearly something had to have been said in those 5 seconds for Will to just become a freaking android, get on stage, smack a man, show no emotion, walk back down, and flip off. Don't talk about my wife. Bro, what? You was just laughing and clapping. What happened? Did Jada say in those 3 seconds, oh, you thought that was funny, mother effer? Did she say, nah, go handle that? Like, something had to have been done.
You know, I see some people come in and comment said, Will Smith's been mad at Chris Rock since 2016 because he's been coming at Will and Jada. Was that what triggered Will to go up on the stage and smack the man?
That's even softer then.
You mad about something? I don't even know what happened in 2016. But 2016, and then
it was the Oscars then too, Mike. It was so like,
okay,
that was the year it was like that hashtag, you know, Oscars so white, and they didn't nominate any, you know, black directors, actors, actresses, anything like that that year. Do you remember that?
I remember they like thing, the, so, okay. They boycotted and such, and Chris
right.
Rock.
So Jada was one of the people who boycotted, and Chris Rock, I don't know if he was the host or he was a presenter or whatever. And he basically said, you can't boycott something you weren't invited to, you know, as a joke to Jada. It's like, you know, he said, it's the same thing as like, that's the same reason with like me and Rihanna's panties. Like I wasn't invited, so I can't really boycott it. So, you know, this is another joke. Like, again, this guy's been making so many worse jokes, like in terms of offensiveness for so long. Like he's one of the greatest stand-ups of all time. Like, I'm sure when he made this joke about G.I. Jane, he's probably like, oh, man, I can't think, like, you know, I have, you know, 20 seconds. What's a cheap, like, quick joke that I could do that's just, like you said, like, nothing, harmless. And so I think of all the people who were shocked in the room last night and watching, I kind of feel like he was the most shocked because he's like, I've toured throughout the world and told way worse jokes than this, and no one has come up on stage and physically attacked me before. And this is a guy that, I mean, he's known Will Smith for like 30 years. And Jada, like, they did all those Madagascar movies together. Like, he's not some stranger. Like, they know each other.
So I see people saying it was a fake laugh. We got Kiki saying that's a laugh that I'm about to rock this dude. It didn't, for me, it didn't come off as that. It did not look like
he was genuinely laughing because he thought it was funny.
Yeah. And even if it was a fake laugh, why are you fake laughing? If it's that serious that you gotta smack a dude, why you fake laughing? Be upset from the jump. Jada didn't fake laugh.
Jada was mad from the jump. As soon as the joke was cracked, Jada was mad. It's just
she was serious as a heart attack. She was not.
It was a really wild transition to see Will Smith go from laughing. I swear he clapped his hands a couple times and laughed to let me go on stage and smack you. It's a wild transition, which goes back to me saying, once that camera panned away from Will laughing, what was said? Jada said something to him. You know, some people saying Jada maybe said something to him. Some people saying Will Smith was laughing, but then looked and saw the pain in Jada's face and then said, okay, let me do something about it. We don't know. Will we ever know? I'm not sure. But it's a wild transition to go from.
Like, my thing is, so the joke is about making fun of Jada and her bald head, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just come on stage and just talk about, oh, yo, I think my wife is beautiful. Like, my wife is beautiful, how she looks, like, we're going through. Like, you want to, everyone's saying, oh, he protected his queen and this and that. Look, come out and talk about how beautiful your wife is. Jada Pinkett Smith, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is Jada Pinkett Smith, a beautiful woman. Go out and talk about how beautiful your wife is.
And that's why the whole world knows that Will Smith was tapped and triggered from a lot of stuff that's
it didn't have really much to do with Chris Rock and his joke. It was just another jab at him where he's like, all right, yo, this is gonna be the way they see that I'm from West Philly.
He snapped. Because like you said, Marv, Will Smith, a clean-cut guy in the public eye. Hee hee ha ha, Will Smith jokes, the great man, Fresh Prince, this and that. He could have easily went up in there. Like I said, I don't know Chris Rock and Will Smith's relationship, but I'm assuming they're like cool or something. But he could have easily went up there and be like, yo, Chris Rock, chill out. That's my wife. She beautiful. He could have been simply Will Smith.
I think everybody would have loved that moment. They would have like, awesome.
They would have ate that up.
And Chris Rock, like I said, I don't think Chris Rock was doing it any malice or malicious way. He probably just agreed with him and kept the show rolling like he did after the smack. But it was a ticking time bomb in Will Smith where, you know what? I can't take this anymore. They've been clowning me since August. Red table talk, they've been coming at me in my sex life. And Jada been putting my business out. And she's Tupac in her mind is, man, I gotta do something. And he went up there.
The worst thing, Mike, is like, he was 30 minutes away from it just not ever mattering ever again. If you just 30 more minutes, just wait it out, then the conversation is all about, wow, look at all this stuff Will Smith's overcome and like the culmination of all this stuff. Like, he was so close. That's why I think it's such a big story too. Not just because it was so crazy, but like, it's like almost like if you're going to like it at the sports, it's like a team that was like at the 1 yard line at the Super Bowl and they've never won a Super Bowl before. And then you choose to, instead of hand the ball off to Marshawn Lynch, you throw the ball. It's like, what? The guy was so close to this being like the ultimate moment, not just for him, but like for his family too. And for, you know, for his parents and for everything he's come through, you know, coming from West Philadelphia, starting as a comedian on a sitcom, to coming to win the biggest award in acting. Like, the dude was 30 minutes away from that just being the conversation of the night, the only conversation of the night. And it's like, that's why it's like, it's kind of tragic in a way. Like, I look at Will Smith differently today than I did yesterday. And I think a lot of people do. And that's 100, just that's his fault. And like, it shouldn't be. It should be like, good for Will Smith. I'm so happy that dude got his Oscar. Like, that's awesome. That's all people should be talking about today. Instead, he hijacked his own narrative.
I don't look at Will Smith differently how I looked at him past 2 years. What he just did for me is confirm who he really is, bro. Because his energy, where was the energy? We're bringing up Pac, August, Alcina, his wife. Where was this energy during that whole time? That man had a whole damn red table talk with his wife. He could have laid the land of the law right there.
Bro, just put Nothing. Your foot down.
Bad marriage for life, the man said.
You could have put your foot down in that situation. Like you want
to see what Marv did there.
You want to keep things public and go on a round table and talk to your wife about the situation? Put your foot down there. But instead of doing that with your wife and handling it, you want to smack a man who has nothing to do with the situation.
Casualty of war.
Nothing. He cracked a joke that had no malicious intent. And that's who you want to take your anger or frustration out? A man who made a song about sleeping with your wife. Your wife going on Roundtable, Facebook Live, whatever the hell the show airs on, and talking about all your personal business. But you want to smack Chris Rock for making a quick little joke about your wife having a bald head, not knowing she's suffering from an illness. It's well, not a good thing. Look.
Here's not the thing, a good too. Look. You know who, I think it was the presenter, either one or two presenters before Chris Rock was Jason Momoa. Okay, Jason Momoa makes that joke, Will Smith coming on stage and smacking Jason Momoa in the face.
Bro, he picked the perfect person.
Oh, yeah.
Like he measured up Chris Rock. He's like, I can probably get away with this and not get, you know, counterpunched or anything like this. I mean, I feel like it was like, which is kind of also sucks for Will Smith, because like if anybody else made that joke, we probably aren't even talking about that joke again. But it was Chris Rock, and Will Smith's like, I could probably smack this guy in the face and nothing's going to happen.
Bro, I seen a meme where they substituted The Rock in. The Rock was the host, and they said Rock made that joke. Is Will Smith going on the stage and smacking Dwayne Johnson?
No.
Not at all.
He's continuing his fake laugh.
Real slick, Will Smith.
We got Weez in the comments here. I like this. He said, fellas, if he smacked Chris and sat down and said nothing, it would have been half decent. Like, okay, he handled business and shut up. No, he slapped, bro, and then screaming and then crying. My Lord.
Yeah. His acceptance speech, I mean...
That was so uncomfortable. The speech was really uncomfortable, yeah. Man.
Let's transition to that. Let's transition to the speech.
I got another thing I want to bring up for sure, but
I like Derek's comment.
The speech, I don't know if I was able to catch the full speech. I got bits and pieces that I came across on YouTube, but it was just he said, Denzel Washington told me, you know, it's at your best moments. The devil's going to get you.
I didn't like that line.
And like, and maybe Denzel did say something like that. I don't know. But like, just the whole speech and him bawling his eyes out. I don't know. Like you said, Jets, it just was kind of uncomfortable to watch. Like, then he want to apologize to the Academy. And then he had to, I hope they invite me back again.
But the speech, Mike and Jet, the speech confirmed to me it had nothing to do with the joke. The speech confirmed it had to do with everything that he's been hearing for the past 2 years. He never brought up Jada. He said, I've been going through it. He mentioned how he's been going through it personally. And how he needs to protect himself and his family. That's what he mentioned. This is built up. You go there, you want to apologize. Hey, if he could have easily took that stand, like I said, and spoke up for his wife during that acceptance speech. He could have easily done it. He didn't. He spoke about how he's been going through it and, you know, King Richard inspired him and all of this, yada, yada. It's really, really wild. Let's get to some of the comments here before we continue on here. We got what it said. Chris probably said the joke about Jada instead of Will, figuring she'd handle it better. Irony is he's right. Will started crying like Chris Brown did after the Rihanna-ish.
Sheesh.
Did y'all see Samuel L. Jackson dapping Will after the fact? I mean, Will's a likable dude. People love Will, and as they should. He's, by all accounts, he's a great guy. It's just so damn weird.
Out of character. You would never.
Well, it's like, yeah, I could see Samuel L. Jackson smacking somebody in the face. That tracks. Like, it's like, but not like Will Smith.
Here's the other thing I wanted to bring up. And, you know, I definitely remember Marv, we was having a conversation with a couple of our friends about this. The fact that Chris Rock didn't really have a reaction.
Let's talk about
I'm sorry, y'all. I wish, part of me was like, damn, I wish Chris Rock smacked him back. But, like, again, Will Smith went up there, smacked him real quick, and turned around and hustled off that stage a little bit. So Chris Rock, I guess, couldn't really swing and hit him from behind or push him from behind because, like, that's not ever cool. But like Marv said earlier, you can't really hit somebody and then turn around and walk away like that real quick. But I at least wish, damn, Chris Rock cracked the – after Will Smith yelled that, keep my wife's name out your mouth twice, I wish Chris Rock clapped back with some kind of joke. And because all Chris Rock said was – first, he said, look, dude, it was a G.I. Jane joke. Then Will Smith yelled at him again twice for the second time. And then Chris Rock was basically like, all right, dude, I'm sorry. Something like that. I don't know. But I really wish Chris Rock clapped back with some kind of joke. Like, look, bro, I won't say her name again, but touch me again and you're going to be starring your next movie without an eye. Something. I don't know. Something crazy. I don't know.
The thing is, Mike... You don't prepare to get smacked on national TV.
I get it.
You don't like
wearing a tuxedo.
Like, you never plan for that. Like people on Twitter and stuff calling Chris Rock soft or oh, I would have done this. No, you wouldn't have. Like Chris Rock handled it honestly the best way that it could have been.
I'm not saying
the fact that he was able to even
no, I know you're not, Mike. I know you're
not. The fact that he was able to even go on and you know, have the wherewithal to present the award. Like, I don't know if anybody other than a professional comedian would be able to just like move on that quickly. Cause you kind of have to in that line of work, right? Like if you're of joke bombs, like you have to move on to the next one. Like, yeah. I think he was just like, he was clearly flustered. Cause how could you not be? But like, I don't know what else you do in that situation. Like, again, like you said, he turned around pretty quickly. There wasn't going to be they weren't going to let like a brawl on stage happen. That would have been broken up immediately. And also it would have been a way worse look. Like, I don't know what else anybody was expecting for Chris Rock to do other than what Mike said, like come up with something really quick. But like in the moment, I think you're so shocked. Like your brain almost shuts off. You know, you're on live TV. You have to get to this award. So like, I don't know that he could have handled it any better.
I'll tell you what. Tough. I know Chris Rock didn't have any crazy reaction, but something was turning in his head because first, once Will Smith smacked him, you can kind of see in Chris Rock's body language that he kind of peeped a little bit of a wind up, but he caught himself. Number one.
He did.
Number two, after I think the second keeps my wife's name out your effing mouth, Chris Rock mumbled something like, yo, bro, like, I really wish. And then he just was like,
he stopped himself.
And he moved on and was going on to the next presentation. So I know Chris Rock, there's a part of Chris Rock that was, he was, of course, shocked. He wasn't expecting Will Smith to come on the stage and smack him. But it was 2 points where I kind of seen after he got smacked, he kind of caught himself with a little bit of wind up. And then I feel like he was about to mumble and say something, but caught himself and tried to keep it professional and move on with the show.
Here's the thing with the Chris Rock situation. Like Jet said, he couldn't start a fight. Like the one thing you couldn't do was start a fight in that situation. As much as it sucks for Chris Rock that he just got bitch slapped in front of the national TV, you couldn't start a fight in that situation because now Chris Rock ruins his bag. He has to go on to freaking Oprah, all these daily TV shows, have these conversations. And
yo, and that's when the police start to come in. If it's
repair his image, he'll never host any. He built up a 30, 40-year career to get to this point. And you're going to lose it all just because a man slapped you? So what if the dude, Joe Schmo, is tweeting that you're a punk? I'm not going to lose my bag over something like that. Handled it perfectly. Like, there's nothing else that you can do. And then, as for like what Mike was saying, a joke, Chris Rock was going to say a joke. He was ready. He handled it perfectly. And that's when I almost called him The Rock because he was wilding. That's when Will Smith started screaming, "Keep my wife's name out your mouth. Keep my wife." Because Chris Rock was ready to go on and make some jokes about it. But Will Smith started forcing it. He was like, "All right, dude, you got that, bro. Like, relax, dude. It wasn't that serious. I was making a G.I. Jane joke." Boom.
I have a question for you guys. I saw, so, you know, like you said, it led off on sports programs today, which is wild, but it's just that's what it is. Stephen A, I saw talking about this too. I saw Shannon Sharp talking about it too. And a lot of the conversations I've been seeing about it are like framing it, besides just the wildness of it, they're framing the situation as like, this is a commentary on like privileged people versus not privileged people. Like, Will Smith knew he could do this because he's rich and famous. Whereas if it was just like a random person, obviously they wouldn't get away with it. Chris Rock would be pressing charges. Do you think that that's like a conversation that is important to have? Or do you think this is just like a one-off because it's like a Will Smith thing with all the stuff that's been going on with him? Or do you think that that's like, you know, it's a privilege thing?
I think it goes deeper. It goes deeper into that. I mean, he smacked him. It's not like he started throwing rounds in the dude's face or anything like that. Like, yeah, obviously privilege has a big thing to do with it. We mentioned how if it was anybody else like The Rock or Idris Elba, who's not a comedian, something like that, who did it, it would have been a different story. But if you go deeper, it's like Will Smith, if he did that to a white man, this we're talking a whole different situation here.
Well, what if one of the hosts, there's three female hosts, what if one of them were the ones who made that joke? Because it could have easily been one of them.
Let's see if Jada stand up.
She ain't doing nothing.
Let's see. Like, it's one off because we've never seen a situation like this before.
Yeah,
it's not like we can compare it to anything.
Yeah,
it was the perfect storm. It happened to be Chris Rock, a dude that's a lot smaller, who's a comedian, who you pretty much know is not going to fight you. You go up there, you smacked him, you went back down. And luckily for you, everyone tuned in to watch you, like to see if you could get the biggest moment of your career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still, like I said, even right now, wild situation. I mean, there was supposedly an apology from Chris Rock. I don't know if it's real or not. Came out.
I saw that Will Smith wrote an apology on his Instagram.
He did. Yeah, he apologized on Instagram.
Which can I just interrupt for a second, Mike? I hate that so much. Like, when you see an Instagram apology, bothers me so much. Like, if you really feel sorry about something or feel bad about it, like, do a video, say something. Like, it's the same thing. Remember that dude on the Heat? I'm forgetting his name last year. Like, he said some anti-Semitic stuff. Myers Leonard. Yeah, he said some anti-Semitic stuff when he was gaming, and like, I'm Jewish, so like, I thought like at the time I was like, you know what? He doesn't know any better. Like, it's coming from a place of ignorance, not a place of hate. Like, so I wasn't holding any grudges. But then he put that out like an Instagram statement. It was like, you know, this doesn't represent me. I feel like it's the laziest form of apology. It's just like writing out. Like, you don't even know if Will Smith wrote it out or if it was his publicist or whatever. Like, I just like people to put a face to it. Like, say it in front of a camera or just a voice memo or anything. Like, I hate apologies that are just typed out on Instagram and it's like, okay, here it is. Like, I just think that's lazy. And if it's something you actually feel bad about, you don't say it. I think that's, and then you can start to move on.
I agree. And like we said earlier in the show, Will Smith's a guy who's been very active on social media, on YouTube, posting little videos of this and that. You want to post all these little videos of different stuff, Will Smith, but you can't post a video apologizing to Chris Rock. You have to type out an apology. I agree with you, Jed, 100%. I don't think that's real genuine. Like, we don't even know if he's the one who wrote that. But yeah, I know, like I said, I don't know if it's real or not, but supposedly, maybe, possibly Chris Rock came out with an apology. And even within that apology, again, whether it's real or not, he acknowledged the fact that he did not know about Jada Pinkett Smith's illness. So he apologized to that. Supposedly, like I said, don't know if it's real or not, but he apologized. And I mean,
like you guys said, of course he didn't know. Like he's not the biggest a-hole in the world. Like, yeah, he's not going to do that if he knew that. Like,
yeah,
at the Oscars, especially. Like, maybe if he's trying out material. Like, he's in his first stand-up show is in Boston, actually. I think on Friday since this incident. Like, maybe if he's trying out material at, like, you know, the Wilbur or whatever. Okay, I could see it if he knew that about Jada, but not the Oscars.
No.
Yeah. Like, but, I think. Go ahead, Marv.
I was going to say, look, I'm all in agreement of how Chris Rock handled it at that moment. But Will Smith still got to see me. Like, we still got to see each other after that.
Supposedly,
Kiki said he got dudes in Bed-Stuy ready. Like, you got to see me, bro. You still bitch smacked me in front of the whole world. That's
supposedly
what
people, they squashed it after.
I don't know what that means. I'm a damn meme now of getting smacked. They replaced the Batman smacking Robin meme.
That's true.
And now they got Will Smith smacking me. Nah, you got to see me,
that's
bro.
That's not going anywhere either. That's
for life. That's for life. Every time we see Chris Rock from now on, we're always going to remember that moment.
Yeah. It was a wild situation, and like I said, I don't know. Maybe it made Will Smith feel good for himself that he did that.
For the
moment,
maybe he
thinks he's a bigger man in Jada's eyes. I don't know what him or Jada gained out of that situation.
It's going to be worse for Will. It's going to be worse because, look, some people are lost in a sauce, right? People are going to look up, why the hell did this happen? You're going to type in Will Smith and Jada, and all this information is going to come up. And everything is good. It
piles on to all the other stuff that they've been dealing with the last couple of years.
What's the
but that's not like rumor
called?
Mill stuff too, right? Isn't it like it's self-inflicted? Like she's airing out all
she's
this
doing
stuff.
It.
That's
she's
like
doing
she's the root of all of this, Jay.
But I'm saying
she's
like I feel a lot worse if it's like he said in his speech that's like, you know, people putting my family's names in their mouth and like, you know, I have to protect my family and stuff like that. But like, man, it's your wife who's saying all that stuff. Like, it's not, you know, the Vanity Fair or the National Enquirer. Like, you know, there's paparazzi following everywhere because he's Will Smith and she's Jada Pinkett. But like, they're not making stuff up. She's just like, here it is.
If we're being honest, all the stuff that we've seen and read and everything that's talked about Jada and Will has been because Jada has opened her mouth. Will wasn't airing out no information about the relationship. Not to my knowledge. I know he came out with a book, but I think the book kind of came out after the fact.
Yeah.
When Jada started talking. So if we're being honest, a lot of this Will Smith saying, I got to protect my family and this and that, that's because Jada's been opening her mouth. And because Jada's been opening her mouth, yes, the world has attacked and made fun of and clowned you and your family. But that's on your wife. So if we really get into the root of where all this anger and whatnot came from, the people who really know, that's like we said before, that smack was not truly meant for Chris Rock.
Nah, it wasn't. And sometimes that's just life. You're so upset at something, and it's like that's. You take your anger out on someone, like, that really wasn't meant for you, but you was just the last person to push my buttons, and you got the wrath of it. But I'm still stuck on what happened in those 5 seconds where we didn't see Will, we didn't see Jada, and he decided to go up there and smack him. I'm stuck on it.
But something was done in that split second.
They're going to have to ask Lupita Nyong'o, who is sitting right behind them. That's the source right there.
Her reaction is hilarious.
It's hilarious.
I was looking up. What's how do you pronounce the disease?
Alopecia.
Yeah. So I wrote Jada Pinkett Smith, and while I'm writing alopecia, August Alsina pops up instead of the illness. August Alsina is the first thing that comes up instead of the illness while I was writing it. So it's like, he'll never be able to escape this. The punch, the smack, whatever you try to do, you're just getting people to talk about it more.
But don't you think that the best thing that could have happened to him was if he didn't do anything and then just won the award and gave his regular speech, then that's what people are talking about instead? For them, that's the conversation, at least for the next while, about Will Smith is, yo, no, the man finally got his Oscar. Like, nobody not this.
Nobody would give a damn about that bald head joke. It would happen.
I think he'd get a reprieve from the jokes about, you know, Tupac and August and stuff like that for a little bit, because people would just be the main conversation would be celebrating
Will Smith.
At the same time, yeah, if Will Smith didn't do that in response to, you know, Chris Rock making that joke, Will Smith might have went home and got rashed by Jada Pinkett Smith. You heard what he said and you didn't do nothing. This, I've been telling you all these years, Will, did, like, we don't
know. It's possible.
We don't know. Jada might have let Will hear it. If knowing that Alopecia situation, Chris Rock made that joke, Will Smith just laughed it off and went about it, the world wouldn't have thought twice about it. Maybe some people would have said, oh, he shouldn't have said that with the Alopecia. But, like, I don't think we would dive this deep into it. But, again, Jada might have gotten Will's ass when they got home.
Yeah, man, we should look, man. Bel Air took a dark turn from The Fresh Prince, and Will Smith took a dark turn with it as well. You know, this is a new Will Smith.
Life imitates art, right? That's what he said.
Now, like, last question.
He was King Richard, and now he is King Richard.
Right. Last question. Does this change how comedians make jokes? Like, I've seen worse jokes in the ESPYs. Well, like, do comedians think twice now?
Right, Anthony Mackie was savage at the ESPYs.
Right. So, like, do comedians, like, think twice? Like, oh, man, I might get hit. Or when there's an award shows now with Will Smith in it, it's inevitable. You have to bring it up every time.
Let me chill out before Will Smith come on the stage.
You have to. There's always gonna have to be a jab on that, and Will Smith's gonna have to do the, the fake laugh. When the camera pans on him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see comedians changing on how they go about things, but like, this is that's like saying after the Kanye. I mean, obviously, it's not as wild as this situation, but that's like the whole. Were people worried that people are going to come up on stage and say some wild stuff after the Kanye thing? Like, I don't think nothing's necessarily going to change, but we're always going to remember this March 27th or whatever the date was, 2022, when Will Smith went on the stage and smacked Chris Rock. It's always going to be remembered, but I don't think anything will necessarily change with especially with if you keep getting like seasoned veteran type comedians go up on this, they're going to crack jokes about the situation. But I don't think they're going to be like, fearful of something popping off if they crack a joke on somebody.
Yeah, like I've worked with a lot of comedians, you know, doing radio and stuff, you know, at different stations. There's been a lot of comedians that come on. So I'm friends with a lot of them. And I think that if anything, they'll double down now. They'll be like, we're not going to be intimidated by somebody coming up and slapping us. We're just going to make more jokes. Like that's sort of their mentality. It is when people try to like cancel comedians for making jokes, their mentality is, oh, I'm just going to keep making these jokes. That's just like, I feel like to be a good comedian, you have to tune that stuff out. And so like Chris Rock, like I said, one of the greatest comedians of all time, he's going to be making jokes about this. Like he's going to have a stand-up special now based around this.
Coming in Boston on Friday. It's, you know, it's definitely people's going
to
be
20 minutes. Wire. 20 if that minutes, wasn't sold it out, has to be.
Yeah, if that wasn't sold out then, it's sold out now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But like, so, I mean, then my last question would be to you guys this. I think I just answered it with the Chris Rock part, but like, do you think Will Smith's career is going to be affected by this?
No.
I think he kind of saved his career with his speech. Going up there in the waterworks and everything, like,
like, he's not going to be less famous, I'm saying. But, like, okay, he was in Aladdin, right? Like, is Disney going to want to keep giving him a lot of money?
At the end of the day, I think what's really going to come out of it is Will Smith was trying to protect his family and his wife. And, you know, it was something wild that happened, but it's he's built up such a positive image that this thing, I don't think is going to really damage who he is.
He deserves to be able to have that chance to do another Disney movie and stuff. Like, this is really a one-off on him. A crazy one-off, but it's a one-off. Like, he's built up such, like Mike said, he's built up such a reputation that he'll deserve to do other kid movies and kid choice awards or whatever it is. And that's just, it happens. These things happen, and we're going to move on from it. We're never going to forget. We're going to move on from it. Sam says Will and Chris going to present an award together next year. I hope not. Like I said, Chris Rock, man, forgive but never forget. You like, I'm a whole meme. And I didn't sign up for it. You know, there's memes of boxers getting beat up on the floor. They signed up for that. I ain't signed up for this. I'm all set for presenting an award with Will Smith.
Wild. What a wild night in live TV history. That's what it boils down to.
That is kind of like, it almost saves a lot of these live TV things. I think people were like, are on the chopping block because, you know, nobody really watches anymore. But it's like, the more stuff like this happens, the more people can be like, oh, I should watch this live. Like you said, Marv, you weren't watching it live. Mike fell asleep, you know, 8 hours before it happened. And so, like, I feel like this is going to be like, oh, I can't miss this award show. Like, somebody could do something crazy at this one. Like, it's the last thing that, like, that's why sports are so valuable to advertisers, right? Because nobody records a game for the most part. Like, most people are watching it live. You don't want to, because you'll get spoiled otherwise. So, like, I feel like for people who do live award shows, anything like that's a live thing where things can go crazy, suddenly there's going to be a renewed interest in watching it because you're like, I don't want to miss. I want to be part of this conversation. I don't want to miss this. I don't want to be Mike Molyneux and wake up to 300 text messages and have no idea what's going on.
Oh, man.
That's crazy. That's a lot, man. A lot on Will Smith and Chris Rock. We just did an hour on that.
Yeah, deservingly so.
Yeah, it deserved a quick reaction. I'm glad everyone here wanted to break it down. Thank y'all. But real quick, while we have Jet here, we trying to do a quick 5-minute segment on the Celtics.
Oh yeah.
while we here, quick 5 minutes on the Celtics. Rob Williams done, probably for the season. I mean, we'll see if Celtics can get it to the conference final. But can we just talk about the turnaround from 11th place to first place, please? Can we just talk about how I don't think I can ever compare this to anything else in sports.
No, I wish we could have had this conversation yesterday where I didn't feel so depressed, you know, about the Williams thing. It's like hard to focus on the positives, but like my wife doesn't really follow basketball at all, and I watch every game, obviously, and I've been, you know, for the first half of the season, she's like, oh, how'd the Celtics do? I was like, they're awful, they're causing me like sleepless nights, they're like the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And now, like, the past like couple months, I'm like, oh, they just beat another team by 20. She's like, what are you talking about? Like, you said they were terrible. I was like, I've been watching basketball for 30 years, I've never seen anything like this in my life. In season, I've never seen anything like this. You think they literally woke up one day and was like, oh, we're going to be good now. We're going to start playing good basketball from playing terrible basketball. Like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and it's not like, I mean, they did make some changes, but, like, the core players who've been there from the beginning of the season are all still there. I understand there's a couple of injuries here and there and some guys missed time, but, like, your main players have been there all season. So for your main players to start the year and struggle as bad as they did, to then flip it to being the number one seed in the conference, it's really wild. I keep trying to think of a time where something like this has happened. The only time, and I know I brought this up to Marv, I think, once, the only thing I can somewhat think of with the Celtics, I forgot, maybe 2010, is when they were like 500 all season long. They made it to the playoffs, and then they just ran through everybody all the way to the finals. I know it's not quite as similar as to what happened this season, but
they weren't 500 though. They were just weren't the top three team. They were just the fourth seed team. You know, they looked old, and then they got to the playoffs.
Maybe they weren't 500, but they just looked like an old, like, okay, this team ain't it. They don't have it anymore. They lost the momentum and gas. And then they got to the playoffs, and they just ran through everybody all the way to the finals. That's the only thing I can somewhat think that's somewhat similar, but not.
It doesn't happen in basketball unless there's like a huge trade, right? That's like, all right, the Celtics played a lot better when they got Isaiah Thomas at the trade deadline, you know, years back. But like, that was obviously they traded nothing to get a guy who ended up being a year or so later a top five MVP candidate. So like, that makes sense. Like you guys said, like their roster, their personnel hasn't changed much. I mean, they traded Dennis Schroeder. They got Derek White, who Derek Minard does not like, apparently, even though they share the same name. You know what? I was talking about this on my basketball podcast with John Sapicetti, a friend of mine and Mike's. What I think I discounted at the beginning of the season, because I was giving Ime Udoka a really hard time because I thought he looked lost. I think that as somebody who doesn't play professional sports, I don't know if you can tell that by looking at me, but as somebody who doesn't play professional basketball, I think I came at it too much of a fan perspective and didn't realize that it takes time to install a completely new system and get the trust of your players. And whereas I thought Ime Udoka was struggling because he'd never been a head coach before, I think it was struggling because it was taking longer than he maybe thought to get the players to do what he wanted them to do. And then once he was able to have the sort of defensive practices and switching that he wanted them to, like, finally it clicked for them, then the team started winning. So like, I give him a lot of credit because I think that he stuck with something that it didn't look like it was working at first. And then once it worked, they've been playing the best basketball in the NBA for 2.5 months now.
Yes, Craig. I remember this in the beginning of the season, talking to Mike and like, yo, Ime's got to stop this switching shit. Like this switching defense is not working at all. He needs to give it up and let's go. And they stuck with it. And obviously Celtics took a while to understand his defense, and now that's their calling card, number one defense in the league, and they've been rolling. But the turnaround has been crazy. Tatum, Jesus. Like, yeah. It's crazy. He's really arrived. Like, he's done this the past 2-3 years where after All-Star break, he goes on this amazing run. This time seems different, though. This one looks like, oh, this is the Tatum we're going to get for the next 10 years. And it's scary.
Well, this is the best, I'd say, individual performance or season from a Celtic, I think, since KG's first year in Boston. I'd say this season from Jason Tatum.
Yeah. If he can put this type of season together, like right now, he's doing it from what, you know, January to hopefully he can carry it to all the way to the end of the year. If he can put this type of season together from October to April, easily MVP candidate, top in the conversation without a doubt. Like right now, people say, is he top five? Should he be in the conversation? Like if he can put this together from the start of the season all the way to the end of the season and the Celtics can be a top seed, it's an automatic MVP conversation. I think this year, obviously, he's not going to get MVP. Obviously, I don't believe Rob Williams or Smart will get Defensive Player of the Year, but they should maybe be considered for first or second team all defense. But I definitely think Ime has a great shot at winning Coach of the Year. I think he definitely has a good shot at, you know, winning Coach of the Year. I know, you know, as we were recording here live, the Celtics just lost to the Raptors in overtime, and I believe the Heat won, so I think the Celtics have fallen back to the second seed, a half a game out of first place. But if they can stay right there, second seed or first seed by the time the season's over, and with this crazy turnaround, I think Ime is easily, you know, candidate for Coach of the Year, without a doubt. Yeah, I know there's the Memphis coach, and
Monty Williams to me is number one.
Yeah, he's a great coach. I mean, he's Phoenix
as well, the way they've run through the league this year, but Ime definitely has to be in consideration as well.
I think Ime's number two. I think if Phoenix gets like 65 wins this year, it's Monty Williams. Like what Celtics are doing now, Phoenix has been doing since the beginning of the year.
That's
like,
true. They had no lulls. They've just been lulls.
You know, and they've been battering teams. Yeah. Like not just winning. Phoenix is
without Chris Paul too for a good portion of it.
So definitely
Devin Booker's game's taken a huge leap too. And I think a lot of that has to do with Monty Williams. No, he's a great coach. I mean, he's a really, really great coach. The thing, just quickly to touch on the Robert Williams injury and why I think it hurts them so badly. When we're talking about the switching defense, right? It's a switching defense that basically you switch and then you try to funnel players into Rob Williams because he's one of the best athletes in the league, of a league of fantastic athletes. He covers so much ground that you can get beat slightly on a switch, and if you're directing a guy towards the paint, he's still there to cover your ass and be able to block a shot or alter a shot. And I think Daniel Theis is a solid player, and it's a good thing they have him because otherwise they'd be having Cantor, who can't play any defense. But it's just the amount of ground Rob Williams can cover with that switching defense makes it so hard for teams to score on the Celtics. And without him, it's a completely different sort of philosophy you have to have. And I don't know. I felt pretty confident that, you know, they could get to the Eastern Conference Finals with him. And then, you know, it depends on who they play. Without him, if he is done and can't come back in the postseason, I don't know how they can get out of the second round. I think they'd have a really hard time.
I don't see them getting past the second round without Rob Williams. We mentioned the defense, but I'm thinking offensively what he brings to the table is huge for them. Just the little things that he does offensively, just being that lob threat in itself, where teams have to look out for that. So they can't just double team on Brown when he's running in or double team on Jason Tatum, because that's an easy lob threat right there. The offensive rebounding that he's been displaying these past couple months have been ridiculous, where you can shoot with confidence now due to the fact that you know Rob Williams is there in the middle that can clean up the glass. Him and Marcus Smart, the pick and roll, amazing. It hurts offensively just as much as we lose defensively with them. Yes, we got Al Horford, who knows the system, but you can't, if you're going to start playing Al Horford 30-plus minutes a game, you're not going to get much out of him in the second round. You got Daniel Theis, he's a great insurance policy, but Theis is very limited. And there's times when you watch Theis on this team, be like, yo, when is Rob getting back? When are these Daniel Theis minutes up? Because we got to get Robert Williams back in the game. It's going to be a huge challenge. I think Jaylen Brown, now that he's settled in his role as the number two guy, no longer battling 1A, 1B. He's solidified the number two. It's Jason Tatum's team. He's been comfortable now. He's been able to find his spots. He's going to have to take another bigger step in the playoffs that I don't know if he has in him yet to take that step for the Celtics to go Eastern Conference Finals.
We're going to see. Like, you know, one thing I've been doing with this team, you know, I haven't gotten too hyped on the championship talk with all – I'm just riding the wave, and yes, the Robert Williams injury definitely hurts, but, you know, I'm just riding the wave wherever it takes us. First round, second round, Eastern Conference Finals, you know, whatever the case may be, I'm just happy. I'm just happy to see that Tatum is tapped into an elite level, and, you know, like you said just now, Marv, I think Brown has accepted the fact that, okay, I'm the Robin, you know, I'm going to add my piece in. Tatum's going to get his 30-something. I'm going to be right there with my 20-something. And, you know, you got Smart playing a great role, facilitator and defensive player, and Robert Williams. And the future's bright. Continue to put the solid pieces around them. The future's bright. The season's been fun to watch, especially the second half, obviously. But I definitely believe this future's bright, especially with your core four guys that you officially have now.
Yeah, my last point just about that, Mike, is that, like, I feel like this year, kind of like in the bubble year, it's wide open to actually win a title because Brooklyn Brooklyn, exactly, Marv. That's why it hurts. Like, Brooklyn doesn't have their stuff together. Like, Ben Simmons probably isn't coming back this year. next year they're going to be a lot more dangerous. You look at, you know, I'm sure, I don't know that the Lakers will be title contenders next year, but they'll certainly be better next year. The Warriors are going to improve because those young guys like Moody and Kuminga are going to get better. Wiseman's going to play for them next year. Like, you don't know where Bradley Beal's going to end up. Like, he could end up on a Heat. He could end up on a Sixers team. Like, it's open this year, and that's why the injury really hurts, because, like, there's no dominant team. There's no super team. And so, like, the Celtics seemed, up until this injury, to have as good a chance as any. And, like, we've seen in the NBA, like, those chances don't come very often. Like, you have to capitalize on when they're done. It's nothing they did wrong. It's not their fault. They're just, like, for the past, like, 10 years, they've been so unlucky with injuries.
Cursed. Cursed.
It sucks. It's brutal. I just want to, you know, recognize that this team really, man, I was done with them. I was completely done with the Boston Celtics. And I'm back, and I'm excited. I think one person that we didn't bring up much is Marcus Smart. I think he's been the real key to this whole turnaround. I was ready to get rid of him, just get him off the team, and I thought he lost a step defensively. He's incredible defensively right now. I don't know if he just lost some weight. He looks more agile, more athletic, and now he's doing an amazing job on the offensive end, getting everybody involved, being that point guard that we kind of thought we were drafting but 6th pick or whatever. And now he's really becoming that guy, and it's amazing to see.
Yeah, I think he deserves a ton of credit for why. I mean, if you look at when they started turning things around, it's exact same time that he returned from injury. And, you know, talking about Jaylen Brown accepting his role, I think Marcus Smart accepting his role has been even bigger. And it's like, you don't need to be the guy to shoot 12 times a game. We're good for guys who can score and shoot threes. Like, we have that. We need you to run the offense and be the point guard and then play, you know, elite defense. And I think once he was like, yes, this is my role, then the team started firing all cylinders, because, like, he's good at that. He's a really smart basketball player, no pun intended. Like, he just needed to find what he's good at, and there's a lot of things he's good at. He just doesn't happen to be a great three-point shooter. And once he was like, all right, I feel comfortable enough in my game to know that these guys can pick up the slack. Like, if I'm not shooting 12 times a game, we're still going to be able to score enough points, and I don't have to be that guy who's shooting threes.
Shout out to this team's turnaround. We're going to see where they go. One thing that I know for sure, like Marv said, I'm back. And I'm going to be tuned into every game from here on out. There was definitely times where I took weeks off from watching the Celtics games off. I'd get home from work. Celtics are playing. What else is on TV? Maybe I'll go to bed.
It helped in the early years when the NFL was on.
Yeah.
Goodness.
But I'm back. Like Mom said, I'm back. And, you know, as they march into the playoffs, yeah, they're down a guy. Fingers crossed that maybe he can come back, you know, second round. We'll see. But if you have Tatum and Brown doing what they're supposed to do and Smart still there and just guys step up, hey, we'll see. We'll see.
Definitely, Mike, you're trying to take us home, bro.
Got you. You know, this has been a special edition of Double M Live, joined by our guy Jet, who, you know, great friend of the Double M family, who's definitely going to be rocking with us as we continue to march along, as we gear up for our next season. Season 4, loading up. We have episode 99 dropping with myself and our executive producer, Sam, a.k.a. Cutie with a Gap. Special guest for that episode, James Stewart, is going to be joining us to talk a lot of things WWE and WrestleMania coming up this weekend. So join us.
Undertaker fighting?
Stu Marv. That goes to show you how much Marv is into wrestling right now, asking about The Undertaker.
You know, I ask that every year.
Every year Marv asks about Undertaker. He don't get it.
Stone Cold is, though.
Stone Cold's coming back.
Am I wrong to ask, Jet? Am I wrong?
tune in for Stone Cold's appearance.
He's the Phenom. If you'd like.
But yeah, episode 99, and then we got a special things popping off for episode 100. More information will be dropping with that coming up soon, but stay tuned to Double M. Shout out to Jet joining us. Jet, we always appreciate you, man. Can't wait to have you on again.
I always love coming on. I mean, I'd come on every show if you guys would let me, but this, I'm excited for the WrestleMania episode 100. You know, I love watching you guys stuff. There's no reason you guys shouldn't be way, way bigger than you are. This show is really actually really fun to watch and participate in. So I hope it just continues to blow up.
Thank you.
We trying to continue to shoot for the moon as season 4 rolls around, but you know, keep rocking with this and stay tuned for Marv. My brother Marv over there. I'm Mike Nice. Shout out to Jet again. This has been Double M Special Edition. Thanks for watching. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for everybody in the comments. Have a good night, and we shall see y'all real soon.
Peace.